Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Wednesday. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being the greatest Packers audience in the entire history of the world. I appreciate you guys so freaking much. All of the comments, the likes, the subscribes, the brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, which today we're shouting out Jerry Gilbert and Rover's Boy. Appreciate you guys a ton. Just the entire interaction, you guys allowing me to do this 365 days a year, is just means the world to me. So thank you for all of the support, the kindness, the love. It does not go unnoticed, and I appreciate you guys so freaking much. Tuesday was a great day. It was a great day because the Packers practiced and we got our first real sort of look at the 2024-2025 Green Bay Packers in totality. There's a lot to go over. Now, I will say this ahead of time. This was a practice that you could tell was based a little bit more on getting guys up to speed, making sure guys were in the right position, working on some of the fundamentals. This was not your middle of training camp, music is bumping, we're going a million miles per hour, this is, you know, we're getting ready for the season and really ramping. It was not that. Some of the takeaways from this one, if you're looking for huge, big-time standouts from practice because they made all these incredible plays, this is probably not the practice for you. Some of the 11-on-11s in particular were a snail's pace at best. At best, it was very, very slow-paced. The 7-on-7s were definitely a little bit faster, but still, there's only so much you can glean from 7-on-7s. But I thought, overall, there was a ton to take away from this practice still, and despite it not being maybe the most, I don't know, impactful, high-paced practice we've ever seen, I still have got 19 things on my list today that I want to go over. So let's go right away with number one. And I don't know where else to start but with attendance. And that may not seem like a really fun aspect of a Packers practice. When you have a non-mandatory OTA, and I get that some of these guys have financial incentives to show up to these sort of practices and things like that, but this is still a non-mandatory OTA practice. And you've got 90 guys on your roster. You're sort of expecting from time to time, there's going to be a handful of guys that just don't show up for whatever reason, maybe more than that. Some of the veterans maybe don't need to be doing it at this point. We've seen guys like Jaire Alexander skip in the past. There was one player, who was not at mandatory or non-mandatory OTAs, and that was Robert Rochelle, who had a personal issue that Matt LaFleur mentioned after practice. Just said he was out with a personal issue, and that was it. He said they've been near 100% attendance at almost everything this offseason. And just a couple things here. This team has been noted on multiple occasions by Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst for how much they love football, just their complete football junkie behavior of digging into the tape and doing everything that they can to get better as football players, you know, going to, you know, meet up together to practice on certain things, guys rooming together in the off season to work on certain things. It's just a true testament to the quote unquote Packers people that Brian Gutekunst has acquired. And it's a huge testament to the culture that Matt LaFleur has cultivated. These guys love football. They eat, sleep, drink, breathe it, and they want as much of it as they can possibly get. And when you have one guy missing from OTAs due to a personal matter, that tells you how much it means to these guys. And that starts with Jordan Love, you know, showing up and being a part of this practice despite having an ongoing contract issue. I'm sure he'd like to get that resolved. There's a lot of guys holding out throughout the league right now and saying, hey, no, you're gonna pay me before I start showing up to these things. But that's not Jordan. And Matt LaFleur shouted that out as well after practice, saying, hey, if Jordan's here, when the quarterback's here, a lot of other guys tend to also want to be there. And that's a testament to Jordan Love as well. And I think it sort of just goes to show, and Green Bay's not winning any Super Bowls off of OTA vibes, off of 100% attendance rate or one guy missing due to personal issues or anything like that. But again, goes to show you the type of leader that Jordan Love is, again, the type of culture that Matt LaFleur has set and the type of people that Brian Gutekunst has put in this locker room. And vibes will only get you so far, but there is a legitimate vibe to this team. And Matt LaFleur talked about it again today. That matters. That really, really matters. I truly believe that. And we saw it last year, I think, even as Green Bay went through a bit of a losing streak midseason, they turned it around. And not only did they turned it around in a significant way, played their best football at the end of the year. It's funny, if you rewind a year ago, as we were predicting the 2023 Green Bay Packers season, one of the things that I know I talked about quite a bit was, could Green Bay play their best football at the end of the year? But it wasn't for playoff purposes. I kind of, hearkened back to the year with Mike McCarthy where they went 8-8 very early. I think it was either his first or second year where they went 8-8. I think it was first or second year with McCarthy, they went 8-8, but they won the last four games of the regular season. And then it set them up for the next year where they had a fantastic season and actually went out and made the playoffs that year. And then it kind of sparked everything from there. But that four-game winning streak at the end of that 8-8 season sort of sparked everything. And I was hoping for something like that, that Green Bay would be playing its best football. But no, it was so much more than that. It was that they were actually playing their best football and getting ready to go to the playoffs, beating Dallas in Dallas, and then had every right to beat San Francisco in San Francisco, just couldn't get the job done at the end. But all of this just goes to show me, and I think everyone, that they have the right players in the locker room. They have the right guys that want to be there. Like I said, that doesn't necessarily win you games in January and February, but it certainly does not hurt. And just seeing the attendance rate and how many players were there, excited to practice, it gets everything off to a really great start to start the offseason. Number two on my list, Kingsley Enagbare. Kingsley Enagbare was not just back doing warmups. Kingsley Enagbare was not just back doing individual drills. He was a full participant in practice. And Matt LaFleur said after practice, he is full go moving forward. We'll talk about some not as great injury news in just a moment. But the fact that we thought Enagbare had a torn ACL, and the reason we thought that, by the way, is because Enagbare said it in his exit interviews in the locker room that he tore his ACL. So this isn't some like media-driven narrative that just came out of nowhere. No, he literally said it. But the fact that we thought he tore his ACL, and then even going back to rookie mini camps when Matt LaFleur was asked about it, he said and I'm paraphrasing here, it seemed like there were still hurdles that Enagbare was going to have to get over and they were going to have to see how things progressed and things like that. And now he is full go in the very first OTA practice. What a remarkable recovery. What a huge piece of news for that edge position. Because as much as you still felt like, all right, if Enagbare is going to miss some time, you still have LVN, Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith, and I'm sure a Brenton Cox or a Keyshawn Banks or one of those guys can certainly fill one of those other spots for however many weeks until Enagbare makes his way back. But that is unbelievable that he was at his back practicing, and he looked great. I was watching him during individual drills, and like he was going through, he was cutting on a dime. There was no issue whatsoever. Like just a remarkable, and you know how cautious Green Bay is with this stuff, especially at this point in the season. Like if he wasn't ready to go, like maybe they just have him do some warmups and have him work to the side, or maybe they just have him start doing individual drills. He was a full freaking go at practice, and kudos to him. I don't know how he did it or what ended up happening with everything. You know, Matt LaFleur just said they dodged a bullet, but my goodness, Kingsley Enagbare, good on you. It was great to see him out there as a full participant. One of the biggest takeaways from practice, in my opinion, was the return of Enagbare. Like I said, unfortunately, there was some other injury news as well. Keyshawn Banks was not injured. We did not get a report on exactly what that injury was, but he was not practicing. He was with the rehab group. Ketan Oladapo, also with the rehab group. We knew that going in. He's not going to be ready till around training camp with his foot injury that he suffered during offseason workouts trying to get ready for. I think he actually injured it at the combine, if I remember correctly. Josh Jacobs was out with a hamstring injury. Yes, the H word. I know nobody likes to hear about hamstring injuries. It sounds like it was a very minor hamstring issue. He looked really good on the sidelines, just doing, first of all, he stretched and warmed up with the team. And then he looked good, like just running around and working out and doing the rehab stuff. So it does not seem like this is going to be anything that will linger. And it looks very, very minor. It looks like they're being very precautionary with this, but he did not do any of the individual or teamwork with that hamstring injury. And then joining Matt LaFleur on the injured PEC list were both Tucker Kraft and Zach Tom, neither of whom practiced, obviously, with PEC injuries. It sounds like Tucker Kraft is the lesser of the two and that he is expected to be back right at the start of, or maybe right after the start of training camp. No concerns. It doesn't seem like that this would linger into the season or anything like that. Like I said, it sounds like he's going to be, you know, ready to go right around the start of training camp. Zach Tom, it sounds like, is a little bit more behind Tucker Kraft, and maybe he suffered a little bit more of a, I don't want to say serious, but a more serious injury, I guess, than Tucker Kraft, I'll put it that way. And with Zach Tom, it sounds like his timetable is a little bit more towards, like end of July / end of August. I think he said mid-August in one particular answer today in the locker room. So it sounds like this could keep Tom out longer and into training camp. Certainly still not into the regular season or anything like that. But both of those will be worth monitoring a little bit. Certainly you don't want your young tight end to miss any time. So hopefully he's back at the start of training camp at the latest. And then with Zach Tom, certainly the sooner you can get him back. I think with Zach Tom, that will offer some opportunities for guys to get cross-trained at right tackle. We'll talk about that more in just a little bit. Some guys that got some work out there. But overall, you want both those guys out there. So it's a little bit of a bummer that both of them have PEC injuries. But again, good news overall that it's not something that's expected to linger into the start of the regular season. Tyler Davis also went through warmups, but did not do the full practice. He's still coming back from that ACL. I'm sure they're being very cautious with that. We'll see if he can get himself back into full practice sooner rather than later, but they're still being cautious with him. And then the only other player, Alex Magoo, did start practice but dropped out. I know a couple of the reporters said that he was pointing to his hamstring. I don't think we want to, again, glean too much necessarily just from that. Again, I know everyone's going to freak out about the H word, but we'll see with Alex Magoo if he gets back sooner rather than later. But he did drop out of practice with some sort of leg injury and did not return. The first thing that we got a glimpse of at practice was the new kick return rules and how Green Bay was going about this. So a couple noteworthy items here. The first is that Green Bay went with only one kick returner. And that's going to be somewhat interesting because a lot of teams in the XFL, when they did this, utilized two kick returners, one on each side. So if they popped it up to one side or the other, the player was set up and then you could do some different things from there. But Green Bay, at least on day one of OTAs that was open to the media, was doing it with just one returner. Players that got the opportunity to return as the lone returner were Marshawn Lloyd, who actually got the first snap. I won't read anything into that whatsoever, but Marshawn Lloyd, Keyshawn Nixon, Jaden Reed, and Dimitri Stanley. And then Josh Jacobs was back there as well. I don't know if he actually caught one or not, but I know he, again, was limited throughout the day. So either way, it was not anything for Jacobs that he was doing any like sort of major work back there. But he was with that group where I would assume if he's healthy, he might get a couple of reps back there as well. I saw, I don't know if it was Ross Uglum or Ken Ingles or something like someone like that saying, on Twitter of like, I can guarantee you right now, Josh Jacobs is not going to be doing any returning in actual games. I actually would not necessarily agree with that. And the reason that I say that is because there are a lot of people that believe that this new sort of kick return lends itself very well to running backs having to read blocks, like basically like they would on a running play. Like it might be running backs that are actually the very best at this new form of kick return and just sort of the ability to break tackles and do some of that sort of stuff. You're going to get a runway to sort of return before you're going to have that first contact. So again, the ability to set up and read blocks, the ability to break tackles and certainly some of those arm tackles is very huge. So I know a lot of people do think that running backs could be somebody that, you know, so it could be players that do this very well. So I don't think it's a mistake that Marshawn Lloyd and Josh Jacobs were out there at least getting some some reps at it and see what they can do. I still think this is going to be Keyshawn Nixon's job overall. Clearly, he's the best kick returner in football, arguably. And just to sort of add on top of that, I think Keyshawn Nixon is going to be a legitimate weapon as a kick returner back there. The space that he gets, the runway that he gets, and his ability to read blocks, just of a day one prediction, and they were going a little bit at a snail's pace here too with sort of their walkthrough of these kick return drills. I still believe Keyshawn Nixon is going to be a big time weapon on those returns with all the opportunity that he's going to get, all the space that he's going to get to return. I'm very, very much looking forward to that. What a week in sports we just witnessed. Caitlin Clark made her WNBA debut. The Celtics, Pacers, T-Wolves, and Mavs all advanced to their conference finals. The Stars, Panthers, and Rangers advanced in the NHL playoffs. And the PGA Championship was an epic final Sunday, and I'm sure I'm missing about 1,000 other things. This week, we get an epic Canucks-Oilers Game 7, and the conference finals will kick off in both the NHL and NBA, so basically, it's going to be amazing. But it could be more amazing with Prize Picks. This playoff season, add to the excitement by utilizing Prize Picks star players. Starred players on the board could earn you a 10% payout boost if they are in your winning lineup. And it's easier than ever to get started with quick withdrawals, easy deposits, simple gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types. It's why Prize Picks is the number one fantasy sports app. This week, I'm going with Connor McDavid, Miles Turner, and Breanna Stewart in the WNBA. I get excited every time I make my selections, and this week is going to be no different. And of course, as always, the best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hey friends, anybody who knows me well knows that I don't get stressed out very easily. I'm able to handle most situations and events and limit nervousness and anxiety. That was not always the case, however. In college, I had bills piling up, tuition to pay, poor credit, and I just recently lost a job as well. I had no idea how important credit was, how credit worked, and I had next to no credit history. Let's just say my stress level was at an all-time high. I wish College Andy had access to Kickoff, the fastest, easiest way to safely jumpstart your credit. It would have saved me a bunch of worries and certainly some sleepless nights. I recently discovered Kickoff online. It was so easy to sign up and get started. I quickly noticed an improvement in my credit score, and the entire process was so simple and hassle-free. If you're unfamiliar with Kickoff, it's time to get up to speed. Kickoff is a smart, legit credit hack with no catch and no credit check. You make on-time payments, credit bureaus see your good behavior, and your credit grows. Sign up within minutes on your phone and start building credit right away. You simply use autopay to build credit while you sleep, and you get the added benefit of never having to worry about missing a payment. Kickoff is the number one credit building app out there, and what really sold me was that they have over 100,000 positive reviews, and 98% of them are 5 stars. So join over 1 million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Sign up today and get your first month for $1 at getkickoff.com/packaday. That's Kickoff without a C, getkickoff.com/packaday. Special offer applies to new Kickoff premium customers for their first month only, subject to approval and only available on getkickoff.com/packaday. Terms of offer are subject to change. Xavier McKinney and Eric Stokes were actually two of the edge players on the Kickoff coverage team. So Xavier McKinney utilized in that specific situation. We'll talk about more on him in just a moment, but it seems like Green Bay is not opposed to using some starters on some special teams. It seems like there's more of that moving forward. So we'll see if that continues. Jaden Reed, Keyshawn Nixon, Romeo Doubs all got looks as punt returners. Malik Heath and Zane Anderson were the opening gunners. And Xavier McKinney also got work as the personal punt protector for Daniel Whalen. So again, some interesting names on the special teams unit. All right, so I know you're not tuning in early here to listen to special team stuff, but the kick return stuff was one of the very first things that we saw, so I put it on here first. But let's move to some other stuff. I talked yesterday in the preview episode of, like, are there any players that look, you know, sort of just bigger, took that year two, I'll say body jump, where they put on some functional strength and things like that. Two players, definitely stood out. Carrington Valentine and Colby Wooden, two people that Matt LaFleur has talked about of putting on some functional strength, but it was noticeable. Valentine definitely looked bigger, still looked athletic, still looked spry, but he definitely put on some lean mass. And then Colby Wooden, he put on some pounds in a very good way. You could tell it was something that he needed last year. He just didn't hold up against the run all that well. He needed a little bit more functional strength, but I think this is going to serve him very well. Matt LaFleur echoed those sentiments in his post-practice press conference. So I think that's going to help both of those guys in year two. But those are two guys that definitely stood out as putting on some off-season muscle. Starting offensive line, Rashid Walker was at left tackle, Elton Jenkins at left guard, Josh Myers at center, Sean Ryan at right guard, and Andre Dillard at right tackle with Zach Tom being out. Jordan Morgan did get some time with the starters and rotated in at both left tackle for Rashid Walker and at right tackle for Andre Dillard. Elton Jenkins saw some time at center, so that's an interesting one to sort of just kind of keep an eye on. And then Royce Newman, did see some time with the starters at both left guard and right guard as well. It felt like the very first rotations were a Sean Ryan, Royce Newman rotation at right guard and Andre Dillard and Jordan Morgan at right tackle, with Rashid Walker, Elton Jenkins, and Josh Myers being at those other three spots. We will definitely see moving forward how this looks. No starting spots are going to be immediately taken in just this one practice or anything, but those were the initial starters. Actually, let me get to the backup offensive line. So a lot of practice was split up into two different ends of the field. So starters on one side and then kind of number twos on the other, and then kind of like number threes on the other. And then there were some other sprinkling of players down with the starters, like Zion Gilbert and Zane Anderson were down with the quote unquote starters, but it's not necessarily because they were starters. It's more because they were kind of so if you almost like doing like a snake draft, right, you take your ones here, your twos and your threes here, and then it's kind of some leftover guys over on this side. So that's kind of what that was, in my opinion. But on the other side, the starting offensive line was Caleb Jones at left tackle, Donovan Jennings at left guard, Jacob Monk at center, Kadeem Telfort at right guard, and Luke Tenuta at right tackle. That is a huge offensive line outside of Jacob Monk. Caleb Jones, Donovan Jennings, Kadeem Telfort, and Luke Tenuta are big, big, big guys. So good luck to that number two defensive line going up against that group. And Jacob Monk is very talented at that center spot as well. So that's an interesting group. Kadeem Telfort, the interesting one there. I mean, he's a tackle all day, every day with his size and length. So interesting to see him at right guard. This is probably just, again, trying to get your best five, or in this case, your second best five out there. But interesting that he got a look at right guard. Some other notable starters on the day. Anthony Johnson Jr. was the starting safety next to Xavier McKinney, and there was no rotation there. That was Anthony Johnson Jr. playing next to McKinney as the true starter on this day. Is that going to happen forever? Javon Bullard at minimum, and probably maybe even Evan Williams are going to get some opportunities there. This is day one. I'm not surprised that Anthony Johnson Jr. as a second year guy got that first opportunity, but he legitimately was the true number two safety next to Xavier McKinney, if you want to consider that, or the starting safety next to Xavier McKinney. Isaiah McDuffie was the starting linebacker next to Quay Walker. Now, Edgerrin Cooper did get some opportunity to rotate in there a little bit, but first guy up was Isaiah McDuffie. AJ Dillon was the starting running back with Josh Jacobs not participating in the team drills. Marshawn Lloyd did get some opportunity there as well, but Dillon was the first guy up. And then it was Eric Stokes over Carrington Valentine as the number one. And once again, no rotation here. Valentine was down with the number twos. It was Eric Stokes and Keyshawn Nixon in the slot with Jair Alexander at the other spot. And again, there was no rotation here between Valentine and Stokes. Whether that changes, maybe next week gets Valentine there and Stokes is on the other side, we'll see. But the first opportunity for that starting corner spot was definitely Eric Stokes. And by the way, just a note on Eric Stokes here. I thought he looked really healthy, looked very spry, looked fast, looked strong, like just a very, very healthy version of Eric Stokes is what we've all been waiting for. Hopefully it can stay that way. And he can just go out and earn that number two corner spot opposite Jair. That'd be great to see, but he's going to get that first opportunity, at least based on OTA practice number one, open to the media. Some other starters on 11 on 11s, your defensive starters were Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary as defensive ends. Yes, hands in the dirt, 4-3 defensive ends, or at least, you know, we'll just call them down line, whatever you want to call them. But they were in the hand in the dirt as defensive ends. Kenny Clark and TJ Slayton, your starters along the defensive tackle position. Not Devontae Wyatt. Slayton still with a small leg up there. I still think you're going to see Wyatt a lot on more obvious passing downs just with his pass rush ability. And then Slayton more on early downs. I think that just makes a ton of sense. Isaiah McDuffie and Quay Walker, again, where you're starting off-ball linebackers. Stokes, Nixon, Jair at corner, and McKinney and Anthony Johnson Jr. at safety. It was very, very clear that the rookies are going to have to earn their spot. No rookies were given the immediate starting position. Not a single one. Again, Javon Bullard and Evan Williams were down with the number twos at safety. Jordan Morgan did get the opportunity to rotate in a little bit with the starters, but was not the starter at either left tackle or right tackle. That went to Rashid Walker and Andre Dillard. Edgerrin Cooper, yes, rotated in a little bit with the starters at linebacker, but it was Isaiah McDuffie along with Quay Walker. Marshawn Lloyd, yes, did get the opportunity to rotate in with the ones, but it was AJ Dillon who got that spot. Overall, all these guys, based on day one, they're going to have to go out and earn that. Now, I would fully expect Bullard and Morgan especially to get some early reps with the starters, and we saw that again, and sorry, Edgerrin Cooper as well. Again, we saw that with Cooper and Morgan today a little bit, but as of right now, not surprising that the veterans are the ones, or at least the returning players are the ones that start off getting the starting nod. And everyone else, as a rookie, you're going to have to earn it. And that's how it should be, right? You know, you don't want anything just handed to these guys. You want them to go and earn it. I'm sure a handful of them, or at least a few of them, will. But for right now, it was the returning players that got those first cracks at the starting lineup. Next up, I talked about this already, but 7-on-7s were decently fast-paced, but were 7-on-7s, and 11-on-11s were completely snails-paced. So when it comes to standout players or things like that, do what you will with it. But I did think one player that did stand out was Christian Watson. As another player that looked extremely healthy, had one of the catches of the day, was extremely active, thought he was cutting off his routes very sharply. I thought he looked fast when given the opportunity to actually run those routes at a faster pace. Just overall, really nice day for Christian Watson, and this is the Christian Watson we want to see. And so I think just the great news here is he looked great, he looked healthy, he looked fast as heck, and that's the Christian Watson we want to see. So amazing news there that's what we saw out of day one. Now, of course, the goal and the hope for Watson is he can stay healthy. That's going to be what we're really going to be, you know, keeping an eye on. But overall, great first day for Christian Watson. Samore Toure had a huge touchdown pass from Jordan Love deep down the left sidelines. I thought Bo Melton on the other side had a really nice day with a couple completions. However, the same play. So it's always fun to watch if you can get to a spot on the field, the practice sidelines, where you can kind of see the number twos and the number ones kind of at the same time. I usually don't try to do that too much because if you try to watch both, sometimes you don't get a great feel for either. But I did want to spend a little time with the twos. And it's funny because the twos were a little bit ahead and they're running the same script. So you get to see the play over here and then you get to see the exact same play call over there. So they ran a deep ball down the left sideline for Bo Melton, and it was Pratt at quarterback. Now, Pratt, I thought maybe put a little bit too much air under the ball and, just didn't have the most precise ball, but it got to Melton exactly where it needed to be. I could not tell if Melton just dropped it or the defensive back made a play on the ball, but it fell incomplete. It looked like it was a play that Melton was going to have a chance to get, but couldn't complete it. And then I turn around to the other side, and that was the exact same play. Jordan Love on a dime to Samore Toure, and Samore Toure did complete that ball and get the opportunity for that big touchdown pass down the left sideline. So incomplete on one side, complete on the other to Samore Toure. As far as the backup quarterbacks go, I'll talk more about Jordan Love in just a moment, but I know there's questions already of, well, Michael Pratt, Sean Clifford, how's this backup quarterback battle going to go? And a lot of people believe that Michael Pratt coming out of college was a better prospect than Sean Clifford was. Now, Pratt was a 7th rounder. Clifford was a 6th rounder. Do with that what you will. I will say this. Based on day one of OTAs, nothing else. If Jordan Love was hurt and there was a game this weekend, I have a 1,000,000% belief that Sean Clifford would be your starting quarterback going into this weekend. Clifford just looked ahead of Pratt in every single way, as he should. Clifford has been here for a year. He knows the offense better. But I will also say this. I thought Clifford spun a much better ball. I thought the arm strength looked better. I thought the accuracy looked better. I just thought overall it was a good day for Sean Clifford, and he just looked, you know, at minimum a year ahead of Michael Pratt, which he is. Now, I'm not willing to make any judgments here on Pratt whatsoever. You're going into day one of OTAs. It's, again, 7-on-7s and snail paced 11-on-11s. Your head is spinning. There's a ton going on. I'm not saying that Sean Clifford is the number two QB unequivocally and that can't change through the course of this offseason. No way. Michael Pratt will continue to grow and get better through the course of this offseason, and I'm not willing to judge anything of Pratt on just day one. But I will say that on day one, Sean Clifford was noticeably ahead, and it'll be up to Michael Pratt to close the distance if he wants to have any legitimate shot at that quarterback, that number two quarterback competition. But overall, nice day for Sean Clifford, I thought, as well. And then I did ask about the 7-on-7s. I asked Matt LaFleur about that after practice. I'm like, Matt, I may be misremembering, but I swear that you mentioned that you don't like 7-on-7s. And he just cut me off. He's like, I don't like 7-on-7s. They're not realistic. It's not a great way to go about practice. Quarterbacks should have pressure. He's like, I don't like 7-on-7s. So it was a funny moment, but he's like, the reason that they were running them is because today was a day really about footwork for the quarterbacks, meaning they didn't want the quarterbacks focusing on the pressure ahead of them. They wanted the quarterbacks focusing on marrying the footwork with the route concepts and with the progressions out on the field. And he's like, if they didn't marry it, if they did not, you know, attach the good footwork with those plays, they were going to hear about it. But that was the reason they went more 7-on-7 heavy, was because they did not want to focus on quarterbacks navigating the pressure in the pocket and things like that. They wanted to make sure that their footwork behind the line of scrimmage was exactly what it needed to be in order to run the play successfully. So I thought that was interesting, but Matt LaFleur is still not a fan of 7-on-7s. Next up, Xavier McKinney was very noticeable out on the field in a variety of different ways. He was very communicative as a safety, obviously safety one. They used him in the post. They actually used him quite a bit in the box. So if you just thought, hey, Xavier McKinney, just going to be the post safety and whoever else is out there is going to be the box safety. Nope, not so fast. You know they're going to be multiple with those safeties, but it actually kind of felt like Xavier McKinney was more the box safety guy, kind of moving him around. He got some time in the slot. And overall, just kind of moving that guy around as much as possible. It's not a bad thing. You know, McKinney is so ultra talented that you can do whatever you want with that dude. So, you know, whatever they want to use him as, if it's post, if it's box, if it's slot, if it's blitz, if it's man, whatever it might be, he can do it. So I don't mind getting that guy involved and putting him in positions to make plays and just getting him in positions for the defense to be successful and for McKinney to be successful. I like that out of Jeff Hafley. But as I mentioned, he wasn't just active on defense, personal protector on the punt team. He was the, you know, far player on the left side, I think it was, on kick coverage. Like, we're going to see a lot of Xavier McKinney, but the big thing is this is a true big-time leader out on the field. You can feel it. You can see it. One of the things he said after practice is that he goes and watches the practice film right away and talks to all the other players in the defensive back room so that they know what's coming and what to expect as they go into the meeting room with their coaches. Like, my goodness, how valuable is that to guys like Kalen King and Javon Bullard and Evan Williams and Ketan Oladapo, that they're going to get basically like a one-on-one with the veteran in the room with a Xavier McKinney to, you know, go over what he saw first from a freaking peer before you have to go in and get the feedback from your coaches. Like, this is a masterclass signing by Brian Gutekunst. Like, he is going to be, in my opinion, everything that this defense needed at safety. He's going to be a much needed player and like just kind of team captain, whether he's voted captain or not, or whether they even do year-long captains this year, we'll see. But he's going to be that dude on the defense. Like, this is a big time pickup for Brian Gutekunst, and he's already showing it not only on the field, but certainly off the field as well. There's one player on the entire roster who has no competition at their position whatsoever. Now, it's not Jordan Love, although you could argue that as well. It is Daniel Whalen. Daniel Whalen is the only player on the entire roster who has no counterpart at his position whatsoever. There's three kickers. There's two long snappers. There's three quarterbacks now that Magoo is a wide receiver. But there's technically, theoretically competition elsewhere, but not for Daniel Whelan. He showed why today. He was fantastic punting the ball. He did some live punting and he was crushing that ball in windy conditions. Really great hang time. Overall, just looked fantastic. So if you want a player of the day, I don't know that I would necessarily put it on a punter, but he looked great. And you can sort of see why there is no competition for him on the roster right now. Sort of went under the radar for just how well he punted a season ago. And I kind of talked about like, hey, I think Green Bay just found their long-term punter. He seems to be that dude, which would be great. Green Bay, it's been forever since Green Bay's had a long-term punter. I think they found one in Daniel Whelan, but great day from him. The kicking battle, Anders Carlson and Greg Joseph got all the opportunities. And I would love to report to you exactly how each of them did. We on the sidelines had no vantage point to tell if they were makes or misses whatsoever. Usually there's somebody down there going make or miss, and there just wasn't, like under the field goal, like either fake referees or actual referees, and there wasn't. It looked like there were multiple misses by both kickers, but I don't want to say that for sure because, again, we just did not have a good vantage point. It definitely looked like Anders missed his first one. It definitely looked like Greg Joseph missed a couple of them, but it was tough to say. Either way, windy day. Either way, both of them are still going to have work to do, and Jack Podlesny did not get any kicks in the open part of practice, which we got to see all of practice. So Jack Podlesny did not get any opportunities to do any field goal kicking on this particular day. So it was just Anders Carlson and Greg Joseph. Jordan Love, I don't know why it took me so long to get to this, but I thought he had a really great day as well. Now, 7-on-7s and snail-paced 11-on-11s, your quarterback should be at an advantage, but he did have that great deep ball down to Samori Toure. He was on fire to start 7-on-7s. I know he started 6-for-6. He was just in a great rhythm. Like I said, it's set up for Jordan Love to succeed in those situations, so don't put too much into it, but I thought he was in total command, looked great, and is exactly what you want to see out of Jordan Love in year two. AJ Dillon, running back only. For all of you H-back, fullback sickos out there thinking that AJ Dillon, nope, he's a running back. He's still a running back. There's no change in position here. I said all offseason, it's not to say that he couldn't get a snap or two as a fullback or an H-back here or there. Maybe he gets a look at it a little bit later in camp, but on day one of OTAs, AJ Dillon still a running back, which should not be of any major surprise whatsoever. Joint practices are back. Green Bay will do two sets of joint practices. One when they go to Denver. They will do one day in Denver of joint practices, and they will do one day against Baltimore at home. I think this is super smart. One, you break up the monotony of camp and get to do some practices with another team, but it's usually day two that ends up turning out into these all-out brawls and things like that. You're limiting that with just doing one day of practice. So really like the decision-making there from Matt LaFleur, but practices with the opposing preseason opponent for both Denver and Baltimore will be back this upcoming season. TBD on when that joint practice with Baltimore is, but obviously it'll be week of Packers-Ravens, but we should hear more on that as the training camp schedule gets announced here at some point this offseason. As far as big takeaways from Jeff Hafley's defense, there wasn't a ton, and it was just, again, you're not going to glean anything from 7-on-7s, and the 11-on-11s were, again, so slow paced that you're not really going to gain much of a idea from things. But we did see, again, the edge players with their hand in the dirt. So our first opportunity to see LVN, Rashawn Gary, Kingsley Nigbari with their hand in the ground. They didn't do full paced rushing. So again, we just didn't get to see exactly what that looks like, but we did get to see a little bit of it. Lots of single high safety. This definitely seems to be something that's not just a talking point of this defense. It definitely seems like they are going to play a ton of single high. And we saw that again in practice on Tuesday. Tough to glean much else. I'll just put it that way. I wouldn't say if there was any, sort of trends with press man coverage or anything like that. It was just, we saw a lot of single high, extra safety in the box. We saw edge players with their hand in the dirt. And that was about all that we could take away from this particular practice from Jeff Hafley's defense. We did see Corey Ballantyne play a little bit in the slot. That's new. We have not seen Ballantyne in that position if at all, or maybe just a little bit in the past, but I don't really recall it. But Corey Ballantyne did get some time in the slot, specifically with the twos, but I think there was another situation too. I know I saw, I don't know if it was at the ones or if it was just an individual warmups, but interesting to see Ballantyne get some reps there. That basically does it. Next open OTAs to the media will be next Wednesday. The Packers do have a practice. I think it's Thursday this week again, but that will not be open to the media. So it'll be next Wednesday that we get our next opportunity to view the Packers. I will be there. I'll be covering it. And of course, I will be having all the breakdowns from it the following day right here on the Packaday Podcast YouTube channel, as well as wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. It means a ton. Tell a friend, tell your mom, tell your aunt, tell your dog, whatever you need to do. Tell everyone about the Packaday Podcast. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broad Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinosa, and Michael Shipper. I'll be right back here tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.